Open your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. For the last 9 weeks, we've been learning, as I mentioned, about the binder. How we learned about how true the Bible is prophetically, scientifically, historically, and archaeologically. I present the evidence after evidences to you guys so that we can learn about the Bible and how true the Bible is. And we also learned about how we receive the Bible and the church history for 3 weeks. And we learned how to study the Word of God all by ourselves. But we have to ask another question. What is the purpose of studying the Bible? What is the purpose? What benefit do we get by studying it? I believe that Lord is going to answer our question this morning. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, how great and marvelous are you, Lord. You are from everlasting to everlasting, and heaven declares the glory of God. And all creation bow down before you, whether they like to admit or not, and confess your name. And your name is above all name. Someday every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's better for us to learn to call him Lord now than forced to call him Lord later. Father, open our heart, install your wisdom for our understanding, and obedient heart for your glory. Heavenly Father, we also pray for the President Obama, that he may become a true Christian, that he may come to know Jesus as a Lord and Savior. And also we pray for our troops, especially those two missing in action soldiers. Wherever they are, we're asking you to protect them, keep them safe. You're willing to rescue them with your power. And comfort those soldiers' family. And also pray for the 5 soldiers who are killed in action. And we pray for their families, Lord. Comfort them and let your peace be upon them. And we pray for the rest of the troops around the world. We're asking you to protect them wherever they are. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community, and especially Pastor Merrill Simon, who often goes out to fight against the wildfire, and Don Marion, who often goes out for the fires around this community. And the law enforcement personnel who especially attend our church service, you be their backup and you protect them wherever they go. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 16. Yes, we are doing this one last time. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The fact that the scripture is inspired by God literally means God breathed it. God breathed. He literally breathed into this thing and breathed out by his own word. It's not just any word. It's not the word that you speak come out of your mouth or my mouth, but it's coming out of God's own mouth. Even though the Lord used 40 human authors, he is the one who put his own thought into their head so that they can write it down as he dictates to them. If the whole heaven opens right now and he speaks to us in audible voice with the maximum volume, it wouldn't be no different than what we already have in this Bible. It will be exact same. In other words, this human author was nothing more than scribes, the one who write down whatever the master tell them to write. They were simply recording what God spoke to them. It also affirms that God is fully responsible for His word. And His word is, Scripture is a true and reliable and powerful and authoritative and permanent. Because it comes from God Himself. And you may wonder, where did you get that idea? I'll go there pretty soon. Its message is coherent and it is consistent in its testimony about Jesus Christ. Thus, it was the power to bring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, keep your finger right there. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. John chapter 1. John is the fourth book in the New Testament, from the beginning of the New Testament. Don't sit there and say, honey, you turn pages. No, I want you to turn the pages too, okay? It is your Bible, ain't it? Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And here, get this. The Word, what? Was God. What is he talking about? And he, verse 2 explains, all of a sudden pronoun is no longer the word, but it becomes he. He was in the beginning with God. Who would that be? Jesus. When you read in context in the rest of chapter 1, you know exactly this is Jesus Christ. The word equal Jesus. You follow? Okay. Now, back to the 2 Timothy. Then someone who disagree with this verse might insist that, well, how could Apostle Paul can tell all Scripture is inspired by God? When he wrote the 2 Timothy, Book of Revelation, was not even written. Exactly. However, by the power of God, by the inspiration of God, by the guidance of God, he knew all the Scripture is inspired. Listen, there are many people who insist that some portion of the Bible is inspired by God. But the rest of them, we are not quite sure. Let me tell you what. That kind of stuff is flat out wrong. Not only is it wrong, but also is flat out, it's literally demonic. Let me tell you why. If I tell you that some scriptures are not really inspired of God, then I become the authority. I'm the one who's telling you which one is inspired, which one is not inspired. Are you understanding that? Do you understand that? So I'm the one, not the Word of God, I'm the one who is in authoritative position. The Word of God, as we always declare at the beginning, it has a total and final authority. Whatever it says is a final. If you don't like it, well, talk to God. God does not, only problem is God does not have a complaint department. Don't try to ignore certain portion of the Bible because it doesn't fit you with your opinion or ideas. The Bible is not here to cater to our wants or desires. Rather, our lives must be catered to what it says. Okay? Amen? Grant that there are many, many verses in the Bible that we do not understand. It's beyond our comprehension. Am I too loud? Yeah, because never mind. That doesn't mean the Bible is wrong. But it only proves that we are ignorant. If we said we don't understand the Bible, Bible is not wrong. We are not understanding the Bible. And sometimes there are things that we cannot understand. It's beyond our comprehension. And leave it at that. As I said before, just file it away. There are many facts and truths in the Bible that are too much for our finite mind to understand. So what do? Put it away, and the time will pass, and as God speaks to you, as you grow in the Lord, you'll get to understand. Then, I'm almost 54, and during this, my life, I encounter many, many people. One time or another, all of them let me down. Not in any malicious way, because we are not perfect. I'm sure I let them down as well. But God never, as I've been walking with the Lord 20-some years, I've never been let down by my God. All the time, God says no for my prayer. Does it mean he's malicious to me? No. Because he's good to me, he will say no to me. If you are parents, you might say no to your children. And then your child said, Mom, can I go stand in the middle of I-19 and stand in front of Mack truck, see if I can hold that truck back? What would you tell them? You're out of your mind. And bring the child back quickly to your home. And what if your child is standing on top of the building and says, can I step off this thing, see how I can fly? What would you tell him? And if he's a teenager, yes, yeah, you can go for it. Or, yeah, we just happen to have all the teenagers in this room. Or, you would say no, because you love him. Same thing, when God says no to us, it's not because he tried to hurt us, because he loves us, and he tells us no. We just don't like it. As the consequence of that God's inspiration, all scripture is useful. Not small portion, but all scripture is useful. Both Old Testament and New Testament are together our guide and the teacher in life. Now back to 16. Now this time, second portion, finally. And is profitable for doctrine. Profitable for doctrine. Far too many Christians cannot answer unbelievers' simple question regarding some theology because they don't study, the believers don't study the Word of God, and they don't know the Word of God. This is shown in the recent poll I'm going to read to you. So you can see it on the screen as well. Conducted by Barna Research Group. According to the poll, half of Americans who call themselves a Christian don't believe that Satan exists. And fully one-third are confident that Jesus sinned while on earth. And further, 25% dismiss the idea that the Bible is accurate. The pollster concluded that growing numbers of people now serve as their own resident theologian. One consequence is that Americans are embracing an unpredictable and contradictory body of beliefs. This is what we have outside of this four walls, folks. The scripture was not given to increase our biblical knowledge, rather to change our lives. So if you're thinking that, especially that last 9 weeks, you learned quite a bit. You got the kinds of shrimp size of Bible seminary, right? Not cemetery. Sometimes they look like a cemetery. The Bible college or the seminary stuff. You got the miniature course. So you have quite a bit of knowledge. What you have last 9 weeks is more than majority of Christians around the world. Listen, that's not for your Bible knowledge, or it's not for your Bible belt so you can make another notch. But it's for you to answer to other non-believers when they ask you, how did we get the Bible? What's the difference? Why do we have so many different versions? And then you can answer to them intelligently. Listen, writer and Professor J.I. Packer said, if I were devil, listen carefully, if I were devil, one of my first aims would be to stop people from digging into the Bible. Isn't that true? Folks, God wants us to think. God wants us to think and not just feel. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have to check your brain at the door. Because Christianity is a reasonable and even logical faith. That is not to say that you don't need the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, you need to have a faith in Jesus Christ. But Bible are simply easy to understand. It makes sense. The reason why we don't understand is because we don't put out effort to dig in. Doctrine, the word doctrine, is the Greek word is didaskeria, and it means teaching. If you are going to ignore the blueprint, when you build a house, you cannot build a house. That's something what I would do. I told you before that when I was putting together a barbecue grill, I thought, I have a college degree. I don't need a stupid manual. So I started to put it together. And whatever I thought it should go, I did put them together. It looked great. And the only thing is when I tried to drag it, the wheel was on the lifting side. And then so I was dragging the leg. I thought, okay, so much for the college degree. From then on, I read the manual. Folks, can you lift up your Bible with me? Look at this. See this? Your own Bible. That's your life manual. Read it. When the life falls apart, this will save you. Like, understand? Can you imagine Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ without learning how to follow Him? You cannot. Christian doctrine is that important. We need to learn and cherish them. Don't ignore the doctrine. It's boring. No, it is not boring. Once you start to get in, you get to have excitement. Listen, experience is never to be the basis for theology. However, the sound theology is the basis for experience. What am I talking about? Some of the charismatic believers, our brothers and sisters, they just tend to ignore the theologies. Isn't that true? They're whooping and hollering, woo! And they're excited. They're going for the experience. And then when they leave the church, and they're okay, all that excitement is gone now. What do we learn? Don't know. But it felt good. In some of the church, big mega churches, you know, the pastors are really humorous. You know, people are rolling on the ground, and then it's because their pastors are funny. And then they leave the church. Okay, so he was a crack up. What did he say? Don't know. As I said before, if you're going to go to church to laugh, just stay home, watch Comedy Central. Just about the same. If you're going to go to church to hear from God. Don't go to church just to laugh or to be entertained. That's an insult to God. C.S. Lewis gave this warning years ago. If you do not listen to the theology, that will not mean that you have no idea about God. You just have a wrong idea about God. How true. And Chuck Swindoll once said, sound theology without apology. Sometimes I can be boring. Sometimes I can be very strict. But I do not apologize for what I teach. I apologize for speaking in broken English. Okay, I have an excuse. I'm a foreigner, but some of you guys speak bad English too. What's your excuse? 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. I lost 1 Timothy. There we go. 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Get it? So do not neglect your Bible. If you do, you will neglect your own spiritual health. And well-worn Bible is a sign of a well-fed soul. All right, back to the 3:16. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. First, we have to be taught, to be convicted, and to be corrected. The Greek word for the reproof is eriskos. It means conviction through Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us from our wrongdoings through the context of the Scripture. He does not convict you. He does not poke your breastbone and condemn you. He gives you the context of Scripture in context, tell you where you did wrong and what you need to do. He used that to so that we can be corrected in for our own benefit. They are profitable for doctrine. That means what is right. And for reproof, that means what is not right. For correction, how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness means how to stay right. A Christian who studied the Bible and applied what he learned will grow in holiness and avoid many pitfalls in the world. The more you learn from the Word of God, the more you apply into your lives, you will have a less chance falling into the devil's trap. You with me? Okay. In order to do what is right in the God's sight, we need to know what is right from His Word. There is absolutely no other shortcut. There is no some fancy formula. And there's no magic pill to take for you to become a super Christian. The only way you can become a super Christian is studying the Word and applying it into your lives. Simply open the Bible and our hearts and then learn from His speaking Word. It's not spoken Word. Did you get that? It's not a spoken Word. It's not a past sentence. This Word of God still speaks to us. It will speak to you again and again. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Turn to your right, right before James. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, and piercing even to the division and of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intender of the heart. It is sharp. The Word of God knows our heart. Now, finally, verse 17. We pass this verse 16. That the man of God may be complete. It's easy for us to get discouraged and self-disqualify ourselves when we hear this word, man of God. We feel like we are not qualified for this title, man of God, because we remember our sins. And maybe we think that maybe this man of God only qualified for the people like Abraham, Moses, Daniel, David, and Joseph, those who lived godly life. Or how about the 12 disciples and Apostle Paul? Not so. We don't become a man of God because we make ourselves qualified, but because He makes us qualified. How? With His righteousness. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's face it, no humans are qualified to be called as man of God. But God chose us. There's nothing for us to boast. So absolutely, we absolutely have nothing, but He's the one still use us and bring honor to Himself. When we come to the Bible, let God speak to us. And it changes us, it makes us more complete and transforms us. Of course, you guys know the Romans 12 too. Let's go there, Romans 12. Romans is the sixth book of the New Testament. And do not be conformed to the world and be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by renewing your mind. When let the Bible guide our thinking, our minds are renewed and transformed. So we can actually think like God thinks. Let me give you a quick tip. Do you know how God can answer your prayer just about everything? Yes? Just pray in God's will. Ask for God's will. Guess what? You may not like it, but God answers yes to everything. Now the rest of verse 17. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. This verse tells us one of the purpose of the learning the scripture for every good work. That's the purpose. In other words, the word of God furnishes and equips a believer so that he can live the life and please God and do the work God wants him to do. The better we know the word, the better we are able to live and walk for God. Why do we live here on earth? To have a fast car? To have a bigger gun? That might be fun, but it only lasts for a while. For His pleasure. The purpose of a Bible study is not to understand the doctrine or to be able to defend faith. That's a good thing. However, as important as those things are, the ultimate purpose of the is the equipping the believers who reads it and who believes it. It is the Word of God that equips God's people to do the work of God. The time are not going any better. Folks, let's face it. This world is getting worse and worse. By day, by minute, literally. Each time I open up the Fox News webpage, it's like, how can you go wrong? Worse than what you've already done. They're beating, topping each day. But we Christians can become better people in this dark time. We must separate ourselves from what is the false and devote ourselves to what is the true. And continue our study of the Word of God. Then God will equip us for the ministries in these difficult days. We will have a joy of seeing God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, that's why we are here this morning, to learn how to study the Word of God. As we go through line upon line, precept upon precept, and prodding straight through the Word of God, we get the full counsel of God. I prefer not to pick and choose what I want to teach. I rather go through the entire book. That's why we've been going for the last 10 years. We finished 46 books so far. And we will, if the Lord tarries, we will finish the entire book in another 10 years. Not quite that long. But we will finish more. What do we do after we finish them? Go back. Probably my teeth will all fall apart. Maybe the, you guys will just kick me over and then find somebody better. As you will find that God's word become very part of your living being, you begin to study the word of God with the excitement. And you, some people will say, oh, how can you find the excitement in the studying the word? Guess what? You will. I guarantee you. The more you get into it, the farther you're going to go, and you're going to be more exciting than ever before. Here's a tip for you. Blue Letter Bible is one of my favorite Bible study websites. I go there almost every time I open up the Bible. And it's a free, and you can go there. It's www.blueletterbible.org. And the amount of information there is phenomenal. And would you put up the first screen for me, please? This, I'm going to show you how to do it. Okay? So you cannot tell anybody that nobody taught you. When you go to the, this is the home page. And here's a little box. First thing is that you can type the box, letter, word, or the scripture verse. And you click the version you want. There are about 16 different versions to choose from. And you cannot say, well, there's no version that I like. Yeah, there is. Even if you know the Greek, you should teach. So you select the version and click the search. And it goes to the next screen. Very good, Gary. And this is the 2 Timothy 3:16. There, of course, I chose a New King James Version. Are you? Can you see? And there is a KCL, what is it, L and VD. Okay, some people have a good eyes, I don't. All right, let's click K. When you click K, you get to have a treasury of scripture knowledge. What is your treasury of scripture knowledge? Those who skipped the session before, treasury of scripture knowledge is, it gives you all the cross-reference verses. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16, and first word is, all scripture, and if it's a scripture, it will come up with all the scriptures. You went too far. Fast. Go back. I'm not done yet. All these verses regarding cross-reference and all that, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and all of that is available. And it's for the King James here, and all these verses mentioned down here. You don't even have to click them, you can, but you can just scroll down, up and down. All right. When you click the C, this time you get to have, if it's Old Testament, it will show you the Hebrew here. If it's a New Testament, it will be a Greek. And you say, well, it all looked like a Greek to me. Yeah, it is a Greek. And it has all the Greek word here, and there is a numbers. That's a strong concordance numbers. When you click the strong concordance numbers, now this is where I really enjoy this. Go ahead, now you can change it. There. Now you get the strong concordance with the lexicon, and there is a real Greek word here, and here's the English spelling. And you may say, oh, I don't know how to pronounce it. It all sounds Greek to me. Well, here's the thing. You click this little arrow, triangle arrow. You click, and it will pronounce it for you. So you can repeat after repeat, and you get to know the exact pronunciation. Get it? Junior, you got that? So you can teach next time? And here's the root word. Sometimes you have to know the root word to get the true meaning. And here's the root word. And then here's a lexicon of the definition of that particular word in Greek. How about that? Can you go deeper and deeper? Yeah, you get excited about this kind of thing. And you're thinking, yeah, only preacher will be excited for that kind of thing. Next slide, please. All right, this time if you click L, you get to have a commentary out the kazoo. Video, audio, and written. Text, everything. Sometimes I steal a lot from them because it is. Why reinvent the wheel when it's already there? And next slide, please. When you click the V, there are 16 different versions of the Bible right at your fingertip. That's a particular verse. You with me? Yeah. And next verse, next slide, not verse, slide. No, it's not. There is D. And when you click the D, and okay, you don't understand the meaning of it. D for dictionary. Now you have a Bible dictionary, too many to choose from. One of the things that you can choose is a NAVE topical Bible dictionary. If you want to go study the one particular topic, you can click that and you can go from there. So there is your tool. It's a free. If you have a broadband connection like a cable, DSL, or satellite, you can fly with that thing. And you would say, well, I have a dial-up. Well, just for you, we have a CD. Rambo, do we have the CDs? Yes, we do. How much is it? $3. If you can spend $3, there you are. Is there any reason why you cannot study the Bible? Anyone who wants to tell me that you have any, why you cannot study the Bible? Well, other than that, well, there's one way to cure the laziness. All right, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a joy and excitement to get into your word, because your word is yourself. We want to hear from you each and every day. You speak to us. You write your word in our heart. Then we may obey you, we may honor you, we may give you all the glory. And you write your story in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.